Attention, patriots. Broadcasting from the Free Zones, Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2...
To the voice of the American Redoubt. This is Radio Free Redoubt, and you've just tuned in to the John Jacob Schmidt Show. I'm John Jacob, proud to be your host. And if you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot, my name is your name too. This is episode 19-12. That's the 12th episode of 2019. And spring is finally upon us. Spring has sprung, especially for our folks in Nebraska. Remember them in your prayers right now. They're getting just hammered with some very, very serious life-threatening flooding. We'll talk about that a little bit here in just a minute. I want to remind you to help spread the word to your like-minded friends and family about Radio Free Redoubt. And I thank you for your prayers. Please keep those coming. Thank you guys for the feedback. The really positive feedback and your prayers and your encouragement over the last week. When you are helping to spread the word about Radio Free Redoubt, how folks can listen, don't forget about our live streaming on Sunday nights. Anytime we are live streaming from RadioFreeRedoubt.com, our Stream Monster player actually has a call-in phone number for you to listen. It's for listening only, and that number is 857-757-1085, and that is toll-free. So I believe it's toll-free. Yeah, it's supposed to be a toll-free number, but most of us all have cell phones, and of course long distance is free anyway. So anyway, this is what a wild week. This week in the news cycle, I'm going to be talking some more about where I left off yesterday on the ACN-affiliated KTW show. Airs every Saturday morning from 9 to 9:30. And that is on the KTW AM and FM dial, AM 630 and FM 96.5 out of Spokane's coverage in the greater Spokane area and Kootenai County, which is where Coeur d'Alene is. And then, of course, we're always live streaming there as well. But that's a different live stream, and that's a different call-in number because that's through the radio station. I provide the number and the Stream Monster streaming for Sunday nights, and the radio station provides a separate stream and call-in number for listening on Saturday mornings. But you can go to RadioFreeRedoubt.com, click on the Listen to RFR tab at the top. When that drops down, there's ways for you to see all the different ways that you can listen. But we also upload all of our shows to Podbean, our RadioFreeRedoubt.podbean.com. That's also linked there. So you can listen to archive shows. So you can listen to those later throughout the week on the go, or you can download those. Probably, I'd say at least 80% of our listenership are podcast listeners. So they listen to the podcast version just because of schedules. So anyway, every now and then, every few months, I like to just take a minute or two to go over that so you guys understand the different ways that we can listen, that you can listen, and the different shows that we have available for you. All right, now let's get into the news and commentary. News and commentary brought to you by the author Glenn Tate and the 299 Days book series about the collapse or partial collapse, major collapse in the United States, and especially the rebuilding. This is what I love to talk about, the rebuilding. That's why we're doing what we're doing. This is very strategic what we're thinking about, rebuilding afterward. And I think that's just as much value there, and is just important to talk about, plan or think about, and planning for rebuilding as is for planning for a disaster. So good job in these 10 book series with all 10 books out on audio now as well. And by the way, don't forget, if you are in Oregon, Washington, if it's within driving distance for you, Saturday, March 30th is the Puget Sound Prepper Expo. And I'll be talking about emergency communications there. And then a couple weeks later, on April 13th and 14th, the Northwest Preparedness Expo, which will be in Prosser, Liberty. So we look forward to seeing you guys there. That's a Saturday and Sunday event. Okay, in the news, Washington Times, let's talk about this. We're going to talk about this. I'm going to keep coming back to this for a little while. The New Zealand situation with the terrorist attack, essentially, or false flag attack, or whatever you want to call it. The bottom line was at least 50. Now, I guess the death toll is rising from the attacks on two of those mosques. But in the headlines, New Zealand welcomes gun control, of course. The lemmings are going to impale themselves on the thorns and take themselves out and disarm, allow themselves to be disarmed. But it's their choice. They're a sovereign nation, and the people right now being emotionally manipulated because of this, or they're being exploited, their emotions are being exploited, and they're going to talk themselves right into disarming themselves. It's off the beaten path, though. It's a peaceful little island country. They will probably never experience something like this again, and well, at least until the Muslims gain enough strength and power there to take over, like they said they were intending to do all over the world. But until then, it's probably going to be very peaceful, and they won't even need guns, probably. Well, apparently, their leader there has promised that there's going to be gun changes. There's going to be wide sweeping gun laws, and that's the Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern said her cabinet will consider the details of changes on Monday. They're going to strike while the iron's hot, and of course while emotions are high. She said options include a ban on private ownership of semi-automatic rifles that were used with devastating effect in Christchurch. And of course, I would also add semi-automatic rifles like that are used with devastating effect in defense of life as well. I noticed that the police have them. I guess they don't want civilians to be able to defend themselves with something that has devastating effect. But in this article, while curtailing gun owners' rights is a political battleground in the United States, Christchurch gun owner Robert Max Roberts predicted Ardern won't face serious opposition to her agenda. And that's sad. There won't be anything, but there's no organized movement to advocate for gun rights, really, over there. And there were several people that were, you know, interviewed and talked to about this, and they just said, you know, this, there's just not going to be any opposition to this. And of course they're interviewing survivors and people who've lost loved ones and so on. And, in the United States though, they readily admit this is not the United States here. We can see civilians needing them possibly in the United States. Isn't that interesting? But here in New Zealand, we don't need them. So I guess they can predict the future. They will not ever need them. I guess when you do need them, then you'll be able to pass a law that everybody can have them again, right? No, once you lose liberty, once you lose freedom, it's rarely, if ever, regained. Sad. And of course, this discussion is sweeping across the world right now. But in the United States, out of AP News, I got this off of Drudge, the Drudge Report. Once sanctuaries, houses of worship struggle with security. People are fearful for their lives, for their houses of worship, for the sanctuary of this mosque and other places of worship like synagogues and African American churches that are being attacked. People are concerned. Isn't that interesting? They never mention all the other churches. They specifically say an African American church and the mosque. But anyway, I digress. The folks in Texas, that small church that you got, 27? Multiple people just gunned down in their church. This is actually being discussed all over the place, but especially with the anti-Christian leftists, the Marxists, the communist revolutionaries, really getting worked up into a frenzy, talking about killing Christians, mowing them down because of their hate. Isn't that interesting? Because of their biblical principles. More and more Christian churches actually are waking up. I'm going to talk about this at the end of segment four, and I talked about that a little bit yesterday. But also, I wouldn't say that people are fearful for their lives, so they're adding this security. They're adding this security so they won't have to be fearful for their lives. See, that's the difference in the way that we think. Most of us who are armed all the time and carry all the time don't think of this. I don't think in terms of being fearful when I'm armed. It is an added level of security and mentally for me when I go into areas that are questionable. I mean, it's not a place where you really feel that comfortable at night. And the kind of places that end up, in news headlines where bad things happen, there is a great deal of comfort for myself and for my family, my friends, and loved ones that I don't have to live in fear. And that's not what this is about, is living in fear. Now, of course, fear is a natural reaction that some of these people in these churches are. This is what's driving their reaction. But we shouldn't be fearful. And I know that when I carry, a lot of times I don't even feel or notice that I'm carrying. It's just something, it's an insurance policy that's there. I'm mentally very acutely aware that it is there, but I don't dwell on it and I don't think about it and I don't chew my fingernails off worrying about it and living in fear. And I think, I want to address that, with the churches. I think it's high time, it's past time that the churches start thinking about security, because, stuff I'm going to talk about in segment four. So, and this is also prompting another, there's another story here, and I've been saying this since day one, and that is the argument about whether or not media should be naming the gunmen in mass shootings. I say no. I say murderer number 722 committed this act today. Scrub their names. I think their names, their identity, their personality should just be scrubbed. When you walk into a school, a couple of kids like in Columbine go through and just start mowing people down. A lot of these mass shooters that we're finding, they're studying previous mass shootings prior to them going on their mass shootings. And they're studying even the names. They'll have the names like they worship them from previous shootings. I say make them a non-person. You persona non grata, you become a nobody after you pull something like that. Anyway, that story is over at the DaytonDailyNews.com. As I said at the beginning of the show, let's lift the people up in Nebraska in our prayers. They have historic floods that's hitting their state after what they're calling a bomb cyclone storm. And this is out of Reuters. Large parts of Nebraska and the United States Central Plains were underwater yesterday after a late winter bomb cyclone, is what they call it. It's a storm that triggered historic flooding along the Missouri and the Platte Rivers, causing so far two deaths. They're expecting that to rise, tearing apart homes and swallowing roadways. And the footage of that is pretty dramatic. And it really drives home the point that emergencies and disasters can happen anytime and anywhere. You should always have a bug out bag ready for you to get out. Listen to the authorities when they're saying, if this levee is breached, get out of this area. Then do it sooner than the mob does. Get out ahead, beat the crowd. We've seen this so many times in hurricanes and other disasters. Those that wait, they pay the price for it. So be ready to take the initiative. Be self-sufficient and self-reliant so you're not one in need. You could actually help others who are in need. All right, let's go to Redoubt News. RedoubtNews.com has got several great articles running this week. And they have a opinion piece by Don Brockett that is really well done. It just re-emphasizes the points that we've been making all along. And this is a really good one for you to share with folks that might have questions about this I-1639 argument over in Washington State. State leaders are wrong on this, he says. The sheriffs are correct. The governor and the attorney general are wrong. Just real briefly here, I'll share you what I have with you a couple of paragraphs from this. And this will help bring some of you up to speed that might not be really familiar with this. But recently, Governor Jay Inslee and Attorney General Bob Foygeson sent a letter to gun dealers about the provisions of Initiative 1639. Ferguson previously criticized sheriffs who are resisting the passage of the initiative. The sheriffs are correct. The governor and the attorney general are wrong. Wrong as in maybe even criminally wrong. Not just wrong like your thinking is off. I mean, we're talking breaching of their oath and possibly even laws. So he says, as stated elected officials, Inslee and Foygeson take the following oath. And then, of course, he gives the oath, which I've mentioned, I've read on the air. I do solemnly swear, okay, to uphold the Constitution of the United States and the state, right? So he goes on to say, a simple example may make it clearer to see that the suggestions of the governor and attorney general would be dangerous. And I would say, he doesn't mention this here. But their arguments are that this is what the majority of the people want. And of course, over on the West Side, where it's mostly taken over by Marxists and leftists and urbanites, they outnumbered those on the other side of the mountains in Liberty State, where they actually embrace freedom and they understand the rule of law and the Constitution and our American heritage. But they're saying because the majority, this is what the people wanted. Well, the people were duped into this through leftist propaganda is what really happened. So, of course, they wanted it. They didn't even know they wanted it, but they wanted it and they voted for it. But he raises this question. What if an initiative approved by the people were to take away the right of free speech or free press? Would they then argue that a vote on such an initiative would be followed until a lawsuit is brought and a court decides the issue? So according to their logic, this attorney general and this governor, they could convince the people to vote anything away. And then it must be enforced, according to them, until a judge rules otherwise. So any of these other rights, you can convince enough people to vote to take away. But I'm going to talk about that in a later segment as well in an article that came out in the Statesman Examiner that really highlighted one of the county commissioners had some really great statements that I'm going to refer to. And Redoubt News has got several great articles over there, just and practical stuff. There's an article on how to prepare for spring runoff. This is a big deal in the American Redoubt because we have a lot of mountains and a lot of snow. And the spring runoff, as temperatures increase, it increases. Lends itself to many different issues that we have to deal with here in the free zones. So that's practical. Firearms Registration Act introduced in Pennsylvania. Wonderful. Local Government Control Over Private Property Access. Another article. School bonds, e-cigarettes, and internet taxes. Just to keep you apprised on some of the stuff that the legislatures are trying to do. And over in Montana, ethics laws for public officials. This is a good thing. Montana ethics laws for public officials. Multiple bills are going through the Montana legislature that address accountability and the conduct of public officials. This just came out this week, March 15th. Many citizens in Montana claim they've been impacted by public officials' misconduct. Hello. There have been multiple claims made regarding the loss of integrity and ethics violations against public officials. So what's interesting is that this bill passed the Senate with a 50-0 vote. That's interesting because most of these people they don't want ethics and these types of increased ethics requirements and laws made to hold them accountable. But 50-0, it's pretty interesting. Of course, it's usually not the legislators that are that are oppressing the citizens. It's usually the bureaucracies. So they've got an earful, and they've listened, and they passed this bill, at least through the Senate. It specifically looks at addressing a problem between the citizens' right to know and the right to participate in personal privacy rights. These rights are covered under the Constitution of Montana. Now, if the bill passes, it'll also provide additional laws against using public time, materials, and or funds by a public officer or public employee for campaign purposes. Not long ago, the Montana Secretary of State Corey Stapleton was challenged for allegedly using his office for campaign purposes. And Governor Bullock was also recently challenged for alleged improper use of the state plane and staff. And what's interesting as I read this, it reminds me of Washington State with Attorney General Ferguson using his office and his position to lobby and act as a legislator by allegedly helping to draft and advance the unconstitutional People's Initiative, I-1639, the anti-gun initiative. So he's using his position and his office to build and promote an initiative, a public initiative. And so that's one of the things. Apparently, there's several misdemeanors that are tied to that. And that's what attorney Scott Brumback is doing with leading the charge in taking this probable cause and initiating criminal charges and complaints against the Attorney General of Washington. It's really interesting, and this has really taken off all across Liberty State, especially, but not just Liberty State. Even in Washington State, we're seeing that a lot, where a lot of these citizens, county commissioners, and even sheriffs are saying this is unconstitutional and unlawful. So hopefully this week we'll get some updates on the gun-free zone expansion and the firearm seizure bills that are being discussed. Several bills. We'll see. So far, there's been some effective resistance, believe it or not, against the Washington gun bills that they're trying to get pushed through this legislature. All right, now let me take you finally, before we end this segment, to Rhino Pack. This the Rhino Hunters. Rhino Pack, R-H-I-N-O, Pack, Political Action Committee, rhinopack.org, and their Stark Raving Mad section. I chose one story for this week. Degenerates, they're never too young. Out of Arlington, Virginia, Lily Garcia, president of the, let me back up. Apparently this was written by Lily Garcia, if I understand this correctly, but president of the National Education Association, boo, you can say it, that's the teachers union, read books to kindergartners at Ashlawn Elementary School in Arlington, Virginia. Ms. Garcia, okay, this was not written by Garcia. This was, this is talking about the president of National, the NEA, Lily Garcia. I got it now. Ms. Garcia read from the books I Am Jazz and Julian is a Mermaid. These books promote and normalize sexual dystopia or transgenderism, a mental illness and a deviancy which drives small numbers of people to mutilate their own bodies, either in an attempt to grab attention, the fabled 15 minutes of fame, or an actual attempt to become something they could never be. Kindergarten and grade school teachers are the preferred messengers of this madness. Social justice warriors realize there's only a small window of time in which they can introduce their bizarre ideology because even slightly older students would laugh them out of the classroom. Muslim clerics likewise use this small window of time with the very young to promote grotesque behaviors like jihad, suicide bombing, and Jew killing for exactly the same reason. When respected authoritarian figures such as teachers promote peculiar behavior, even if horrific, unhealthy, and ultimately suicidal, many of the very young inculcate those teachings into their very soul, the result of which is a lifelong adherent to a philosophy that is ultimately destructive to themselves and to the nation state to which they belong. That and several other stories over at Stark Raving Mad, real stories that are in the news with a non-leftist commentary added in there. Some really, really interesting stuff and some stuff that'll turn your stomach. Don't forget to participate in the Liberty State official rifle poll. The AR-15 is leading by a huge margin, not a big surprise, but let your voice be known. And hopefully we can get some Liberty State, official Liberty State rifles produced. That'd be great with the Liberty State flag and some other really cool stuff engraved on that. I don't know. That'd be a good discussion to have. And we got some other polls coming up. Somebody suggested, what should the State of Liberty... I was talking to the author, Glenn Tate. What should the State of Liberty abbreviation be? Should it be LT or LY, like Kentucky, you know, KY, maybe LY, LI, LT? I don't know. We'll see. But what do you guys think? Well, maybe we'll talk to those folks over there at libertystate.org to make that the next poll. It'd be real interesting. All right, we'll be back with segment two. And stick around for the Alerts USA Weekly Summary Intelligence Briefing, and then segment two right after that. Don't go away.
This is an Alerts USA Threat Journal National Situation Update for the week ending Saturday, March 16th, 2019. This week in security news, on 21 occasions this week, Alerts USA subscribers were notified via SMS messages to their mobile devices regarding safety and security matters. Most important for this update, late Thursday evening, Alerts USA subscribers were some of the first people in North America to learn of an active shooter situation unfolding at a mosque near Hagley Park in Christchurch, New Zealand. In this incident, an individual identified as Brenton Tarrant, age 28, from Grafton, New South Wales, Australia, calmly approached the Al Noor Mosque in the center of Christchurch during Friday afternoon prayers and opened fire with a shotgun and multiple rifles on dozens of individuals, repeatedly changing magazines and methodically delivering fatal shots to the upper body and heads of many already fallen. Adding to the horror of the incident is the fact that Tarrant live-streamed the entire Al Noor Mosque attack to Facebook using a head-mounted video camera from the drive to the location, then the entire shooting to his drive away, during which numerous additional shots were fired at individuals on the street. The video was then spread widely on YouTube, Twitter, LiveLeak, and other platforms. In total, 41 people were killed at the Al Noor Mosque. An attack on a second mosque in the eastern part of the city not long after killed 7 more. At least one person died after the attack while being treated. 48 others, some in critical condition, are currently being treated for gunshot wounds at Christchurch Hospital. According to New Zealand's Prime Minister, a total of 5 firearms were used in the attacks, including 2 shotguns, 2 rifles, and 1 lever-action firearm. Photographs of the shooter's weapons show them covered with a variety of symbols, the names of historical figures who fought against the Ottoman Empire, references to Vienna 1683, the year the Ottoman Empire suffered defeat at the Battle of Kahlenberg, as well as Accra 1189, a reference to the Crusades. 4 names of legendary Serbs who fought against the 500-year rule of the Ottomans in the Balkans, written in the Cyrillic alphabet, are also seen on the gunmen's rifles. 2 explosive devices were also discovered in a car not far from the Al Noor Mosque and were disarmed by bomb techs. A total of 4 people were originally arrested following the attacks. 1 was cleared and 3 others remain in custody as the investigations continue. At the time of this report's preparation late Friday, only Tarrant had been formally charged, though this could change. In a 74-page manifesto posted online prior to the attack, Tarrant said that he only arrived in New Zealand to live temporarily while he planned and trained, but then decided to carry out the attack there. He described how he had been preparing for the assault since a trip to Europe 2 years ago. During his visit to France, he described a town in the eastern part of the country as a cursed place. Quote, "In every French city, in every French town, the invaders were there. No matter where I traveled, no matter how small or rural the community I visited, the invaders were there. For every French man or woman, there was double the number of invaders. I had seen enough and in anger drove out of the town, refusing to stay any longer in the cursed place, and headed on to the next town." In a subsection of the manifesto entitled, "Why Did You Carry Out the Attack?" here's a sampling of what Tarrant wrote. Quote, "To most of all show the invaders that our lands will never be their lands, our homelands are our own, and that, as long as a white man still lives, they will never conquer our lands and they will never replace our people. To take advantage of the invaders for the hundreds of thousands of deaths caused by foreign invaders in European lands throughout history. To directly reduce immigration rates to European lands by intimidating and physically removing the invaders themselves. to incite violence, retaliation, and further divide between the European people and the invaders currently occupying European soil, to avenge those European men and women lost in the constant and never-ending wars of European history who died for their lands, died for their people, only to have their lands given away to any foreign scum that bothered to show up, and finally, to show the effect of direct action, lighting a path forward for those that wish to follow, a path for those that wish to free their ancestors' lands from the invader's grasp, and to be a beacon for those that wish to create a lasting culture to tell them they are not alone. Alert USA cautions listeners that as a result of the Christchurch attacks, there is significant potential for copycat strikes on other mosques in Western countries, as well as reprisal attacks on churches and synagogues in North America, Europe, Australia, and New Zealand. As Alert USA subscribers have already been informed, Islamic State and Al-Qaeda-linked social media channels are alive with calls for revenge and expressions of rage. Caution and vigilance are urged. You can find more on this story in this week's issue of the Threat Journal newsletter. If you're not already a subscriber, visit ThreatJournal.com and sign up today. The publication is free and will remain that way. Alert USA continues to monitor the overall domestic and international threat environment and will immediately notify service subscribers via SMS messages of new alerts, warnings, and advisories, or any other factors which signal a change in the overall threat picture for American citizens as events warrant. In travel security news, listeners are reminded that a U.S. government-issued worldwide caution for American citizens remains in effect, warning of the continuing threat of terrorist activities, political violence, and criminal activity globally. Quoting from the cautionary statement, "Terrorist groups including the Islamic State, Al-Qaeda, their associates, and those inspired by such organizations are intent on attacking U.S. citizens wherever they are. Terrorists are increasingly using less sophisticated methods, including edged weapons, pistols, and vehicles as weapons, to effectively target crowds and increasingly aim to identify and attack soft targets such as high-profile public events, hotels, clubs and restaurants, places of worship, schools, parks, shopping malls and markets, tourism infrastructure and tourist sites, as well as public transportation systems. U.S. citizens are strongly encouraged to maintain a high level of vigilance and practice good situational awareness when traveling. As always, if you are planning travel abroad, regardless of the destination, Alert USA strongly recommends checking out the U.S. State Department's travel website, as well as that of the CDC, for safety, security, and health considerations about your destination. We also recommend taking a few minutes to visit the equivalent websites of the Canadian, Australian, and British governments to see the travel guidance that those nations are providing to their citizens, as threats and assessments can and do vary. This has been an Alert USA Threat Journal National Situation Update for the week ending Saturday, March 16th, 2019.
Welcome back. This is segment two, and segment two is brought to you by our sponsor, Selkirk Mountain Real Estate, helping God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots just like you get strategically relocated to the free zones. Specifically, if you are looking at the northern part of the panhandle of Idaho, Selkirk Mountain Real Estate will be happy, and they are standing by to help you. Check them out at selkirkmountainrealestate.com. Also, I wanted to remind you that for other great sources of news and for your situational awareness as far as what's going on in our country and how the left, the godless, the anti-Christian, anti-American, pro-globalist, pro-Marxist movement is making headway, check out socialismtoday.info, socialismtoday.info, brought to you by the senior editor of the Gem State Patriot. Always doing a really good job over there. Okay, now, continuing on with this discussion of what's going on or what has happened and transpired, especially the aftermath of this New Zealand shooting at the two mosques, the massacre, essentially. And it's the predictable globalist reaction to it. But I want to point some things out here. This is really interesting. I'm going to refer to several resources. Jihad Watch was a good one. It is a great one. But they covered this story. What's really interesting is the globalist leftist Chelsea Clinton just got raked over the coals by Muslims at this New York University, pointing to her saying, "You're the result of the massacre, stoked by people like you and the words that you put out to the world," gesturing toward the vigil for the 49 who were killed in Christchurch when a white nationalist shooter stormed two mosques. And this individual points to Chelsea Clinton, of all people, and says, "I want you to know that I want you to feel that deeply. 49 people died because of the rhetoric you put out there." The blame game, right? So they're blaming this leftist globalist socialist Chelsea Clinton at this multicultural thing that she's part of. Why? Because Chelsea Clinton spoke out against this Congresswoman, Representative Ilhan Omar, about her anti-Semitic language and she has been putting out so much anti-Israel rhetoric, and the hate. She's Muslim, and this is like just oozing out of her pores, and criticizing Israel, and a lot of anti-Semitic statements. Well, Chelsea Clinton spoke out against this Omar, saying that there's basically no place for that type of anti-Semitic type of rhetoric. And so now, because she spoke against a Muslim who was spouting anti-Israel and anti-Semitic rhetoric, now Chelsea Clinton is the reason why that guy over in Christchurch, New Zealand, went on a shooting rampage. And now 49 people are dead because of you, right? So I want to shine some light on some stuff here, because now all this talk about this type of hate, there's no place for it. And how horrible this attack was. The reason why I'm bringing this up, I don't recall this type of outrage on a national scale when Christians, non-believers, non-Muslims are being slaughtered every single day. I'm going to take you to the religionofpeace.com. They track jihad attacks. I'm going to share some stuff with you. Just this month, March, and the month isn't over. These are the numbers at religionofpeace.com, thereligionofpeace.com. They have a jihad report based on a monthly tally of people that have been killed in the name of Islam. From March 9th through March 15th, that's 6 days. Just in 6 days, there have been 24 attacks by Islamists who have killed 147 people, injured 91. Two of them were in suicide blasts in 11 countries. So far, since 9/11, there have been 34,731 deadly terror attacks. Now, let me take you back to January, when they had the full month to work with. Just in the month of February, last month in 2019, there were attacks, 150 attacks, 883 people killed, 547 injured. 10 of those were in suicide blasts in 22 countries. Not one remote country. Not 49 people dead. We're talking 883 dead, 547 injured, and not a peep. Because the Islamists are killing people every single day. They're slaughtering them. They highlight the atrocity of the week over at the religionofpeace.com. The atrocity of the week story they covered this week was 3,000 sex slaves are feared executed by the caliphate. Now, let me go down a list of some of the attacks. Let me go back just a few days. March 13th in Iraq, a man collecting truffles is captured and executed by the Islamic State. In Syria, on the 15th, three female suicide bombers strike families fleeing the caliphate, killing six members. On the 15th, in Mozambique, 13 villages are hacked to death by Sharia proponents. The next day, in India, a female police officer is gunned down outside her home by Muslim terrorists. The next day, in Israel, a Palestinian terrorist shoots three Israelis, killing one. Every single day, they are mowing down unbelievers. They're killing them, slaughtering them. Here's more stories. Boko Haram attacks a Christian village, destroys the church, and increasing attacks on Christians. Fulani militants kill over 20 in Nigeria with machetes and gunfire. Attacks resume in the Benue state. In Nigeria, violence in Kaduna continues. Hundreds killed by one group. That was reported on the 14th. This is going on continuously. And what's so disparaging, Jeremy Corbyn posted on social media, this terrible incident in Manchester. My thoughts are with those affected and our brilliant emergency services. This terrible incident was a terrorist attack in Manchester. He calls it an incident. The New Zealand white supremacist massacre, a terror attack. So the media is complicit as well, because they will not call this stuff out for what it is when it happens. It's kind of interesting on that story too. Some of the comments bring some other things to mind that I had to recall. Like this reminds us of the previous president, who will not be named, calling the Fort Hood mass shooting by Muslim Hassan. When they learned that he was a Muslim, that they called it workplace violence. You guys remember that? Some guys randomly shooting folks at a deli when the deli was owned and operated by, and the folks were Jews and the guys were Muslim terrorists. Some folks were shot at a deli by a guy. Well, that's just it. That's the whole point. They don't tell you those folks, they were Jews, and they were gunned down by the guys who were Muslims. They cover it up. The media is leftist, and they cover this stuff up. They're so afraid of being labeled Islamophobic by calling the truth what it is, the truth. So now, so what's happened now in response to this knee-jerk reaction, this is the emotionally charged, irrational reactions now. New Zealand now is threatening. You know, this video has been posted and his manifesto has been posted all over the internet. Matter of fact, I think it was 150 million. I got to look again. I'm pretty sure that's correct. Facebook alone took down 150 million reposts of the video of that massacre. So now New Zealand is threatening 10 years in prison for possessing the video of that mosque shooting. And the web hosts were warned that they face 250. Let me read this article to you. New Zealand authorities have reminded, and this comes to you by, what is it? I just have the highlight here. Let me get the link. Even though this is going to be in our highlights and resources posting, I want to read it to you. I know some of you guys, when you're listening, you like looking things up. And darn it, now I can't get it. Okay, just look it up. It's written by Tyler Durden. I think this is Breitbart. New Zealand threatens 10 years in prison for possessing mosque shooting videos. Okay. They face up to 10 years in prison for knowingly possessing a copy of the New Zealand mosque shooting video and up to 14 years in prison for sharing it. 14 years in prison for sharing this particular video. Corporations such as web hosts face an additional $137,000 U.S. dollars fine under the same label. So I'm wondering, are they willing to aggressively threaten to aggressively prosecute those in possession of sharing all the jihadi terrorist attacks and rapes and beheadings and tortures and butchering that's out there? Are they going to, or what are they going to do when they catch Muslims with all these beheading videos and all this jihadi hate teachings about conquering a land and raping the women and beheading people with videos of these atrocities, drowning Christians, cutting their heads off, disemboweling them, dismembering them alive? And these videos that these freaks have, are they going to threaten them or any of the sharing platforms with 14 years in prison? But no. Nope. It's when Muslims are attacked. That's when they are going to fall all over themselves to correct, to make these corrections to our culture wrongs. It's a double standard. That's what I'm upset about. I want to share with you a great writing, parts of it, from over at Culture Watch. Bill Muhlenberg wrote a piece called Some Inconvenient Truths About the Christchurch Massacre. This is over at BillMuhlenberg.com. And I think I originally found this at JihadWatch.com. But Bill Muhlenberg apparently has a piece called Culture Watch. And in this piece specifically that he wrote is titled Some Inconvenient Truths About the Christchurch Massacre. While the New Zealand attack was terrible in the extreme, every single day we have massacres of infidels by devout Muslims taking place. And I love that he uses that word. These are not Muslim extremists. They are devout Muslims. If you are carrying out those type of atrocious attacks in the name of Islam, you are following Islam as a devout follower. This is not extreme. This is their doctrine. Get that in your head. I'll read on. Yet it is almost always crickets chirping from the media, just what I was saying. For example, what about the recent Muslim attacks on Christians in a church in Nigeria with 32 deaths, or in Egypt leaving 9 dead, or the Philippine church attack that killed 20, or the 8 dead in a Somali market attack, etc. The list is endless. As one group that monitors all this points out, in the month of February 2019 alone, there were 150 deadly Islamic terror attacks in 22 different countries. These resulted in 883 deaths and 547 people being injured. This is routine stuff. Yet, when was the last time the mainstream media ran with any of it? And we've had some rather fuzzy thinking by many. Catholic commentator Greg Sheridan, writing in The Australian, said that we are all Muslims. No, we are all human beings made in the image of God, and we certainly should pray for those in Christchurch right now. But making rather foolish statements like this helps no one. And hyper-leftist American political Alexandria or Cortex, she made a dumb comment. He mentions that. And of course, absolutely no one's surprised by the left-wing prime minister of New Zealand already demanding a crackdown on firearms. Jacinda Ardern said, our laws, our gun laws will change. Now is the time for change. It happens every time. Of real interest in this regard is the following headline, assuming that it's true. Man who stopped New Zealand mosque rampage turns out to be a good guy with a gun. Listen to this. Now, they're praising this guy. One of the shooters at New Zealand mosques Friday reportedly ended with an armed prayer goer returning fire, causing the attacker to flee. The man was a worshiper at the Linwood Mosque, which was targeted along with the Al Noor's Mosque in a pair of attacks. At least 10 people were killed. Okay, so this guy's described as, in the New Zealand Herald, as a well-known Muslim local who was armed with a rifle of his own, shooting either with a rifle or a shotgun. He fired two shots at the assailants, the would-be attackers, and they sped off in a car, according to this article. don't know how he's able to do that if you're going to disarm your people, but this guy apparently thwarted the attack or prevented it from being worse anyway. And of course, even Israel's prime minister spoke up and said, we denounce these attacks. These are horrible. This should never happen. But how often do we hear Muslim leaders decrying the slaughtering, the daily slaughtering of unbelievers, of Christians, and the taking of sex slaves, and then executing them when they're done with them? Do we hear any outcry over this, other than Erdogan from Turkey sniveling and crying about being a victim, saying these types of things must not go unanswered? There must be repercussions. We will not tolerate this. We're being picked on. We're being targeted. So, anyway, I wanted to point some things out that this guy highlights. As to the gunman, there's so many questions about this gunman. They're going to do to us just like they did with the Las Vegas shooting. It's going to be this long, drawn-out investigation with no answers. As to the gunman himself, we do have this rather rambling 74-page manifesto, The Great Replacement, he calls it, which is already being pulled from some websites, but can still be found here and there. In it, he describes himself in various ways. Listen to this. Were or are you a conservative? No, conservatism is corporatism in disguise. I want no part of it. Now, this is the shooter, okay? Were or are you a Christian? He says, that is complicated. When I know, I will tell you. Were or are you right wing? Depending on the definition. Sure. Were or are you left wing? And he says, depending on the definition. Sure. Are you socialist? Depending on the definition. Worker ownership of the means of production? It depends on those workers, who those workers are, their intents, who currently owns the means of production, their intents, and who currently owns the state and its intents. That's his answer. Are you a socialist? That is a socialist answer. Were or are you a supporter of Donald Trump? His answer, as a symbol of renewed white identity and common purpose, sure. As a policymaker and a leader, dear God, no. Okay, so somehow this shooter twisted Donald Trump into being the one responsible for a renewed white identity. This is absurd. So he asked him, did you always hold these views? Or he asked himself in this manifesto. Have I always held these views? No. When I was young, I was a communist, then an anarchist, and finally a libertarian before coming to be an eco-fascist. There you are. There it is. But see, the Christian, right-wing, conservative, anti-communist, pro-American, anti-Muslim, and there's nothing wrong with being anti-Muslim, or anti-Islam, rather, because I'm not anti-Muslim. I've said this before. I want Muslims to come to know Christ and to repent. That would be the biggest kick in the teeth to the enemy who wants to rob them of their souls. And Muslims are coming to the Christian faith all the time. They're understanding what grace is, what love is, what mercy is, truly is. And they will tell you, once they leave it, they'll say, Islam is just dark and nasty and oppressive and evil, and I've been freed. That's what these Christians are saying, and they're dying for it. They're dying for their faith because it makes these demonically influenced Islamists go berserk when they lose one to Christ. So we're not anti-Muslim, but you better believe we are unabashedly, unapologetically anti-Islam. Got it? And our views don't match up with this guy here. Don't put us in the same boat as this guy here. We're not even anywhere close. Conservative Christians are anti-communist. We're anti-anarchist. We believe in the rule of law. And we're not libertarian, although we love liberty. But the modern libertarianism is, I can do whatever I want, whenever I want. Nobody can tell me. The rules don't apply to me. I'm my own free person, and I won't be restricted. And of course, in their mind, that means by God or God's law or God's edicts, or the Word of God. We're not in the same category, so don't lump us into the same category as this guy. So, anyway, he says he believes there's no democratic solution. This shooter said that. So, as this writer here for this article, Muhlenberg, he says this guy, he's all over the place. He does not sound like a card-carrying conservative or a born-again Bible-based Christian at all, and I concur. We would say he's another nut job, but even if he is, he has caused so much pain and suffering for so many. Okay, so that's how he ended his article. So anyway, I just wanted to share that with you guys, some further proper perspective, and we'll move on from this. Unless there's new developments that I feel led to address, to put things into perspective, at least as I see them, there are new things that are coming out about this guy, and there are a lot of unanswered questions that are surfacing. There are a ton of unanswered questions. Could this have been a false flag operation? Could this guy, why did he travel to all of these Islamic countries? What was he doing there? Who was he influenced by? Something, everybody that knows him personally said the guy was just a normal guy. He liked to work out. He was just an average Joe. And then all of a sudden he started traveling the world and visiting all these other countries, and he came back and something happened to him. Something changed. And he developed some skills somewhere. And it'd be interesting to know what type of Muslims he was around when he was traveling to some of these other countries, to find out what type of influences he may have had. There's definitely a lot more. We'll probably never know. But I'm not going to get into conspiracy theory stuff. But there are things that are not adding up. And that's a fact. But we're going to get the brunt of it. And that's a fact. So get ready. Our world is changing. I said that yesterday. Our world is about ready to change, and not for the good. And this is going to accelerate some things. Some of the things that he claimed that he was hoping for, that's exactly what the left has been counting on, this type of an opportunity. So brace yourselves, patriots. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back and pick up segment 3 in just a moment. Stay right there.
Hello, folks. Shelby Gallagher here, wanting to let you know about a great event coming up, the Puget Sound Preparedness Expo. It's on Saturday, March 30th at the Baymont Inn and Suites in Bremerton, Washington.
It's going to be great. This is Glenn Tate here. We're going to have John Jacob Schmidt speaking, Representative Matt Shea, simulcast on 1400 AM KITZ Radio. Look for us on Facebook, Puget Sound Preparedness Expo 2019. Come on out and see us.
Welcome back. This is segment 3 of The Voice of the American Redoubt. And segment 3 is brought to you by Strategic Landscape Design, with designs to help keep you safe and to help you thrive on your property, helping you to secure water rights and other rights on your property, helping you to choose if you are undecided between two or more properties and want to find out what's right for you, which one is the right decision to make. You need some professional help. Well, it's one of the many services that they offer with food production and self-sufficiency, alternative energy, security, all of these things. And also they travel outside the American Redoubt, and check them out at strategiclandscapedesign.com to find out how they might be able to help you if you think you might need it and you just might and not even be aware of it. Thank you guys, our sponsors, for helping us keep things going as we grow. And thank you for all of you with your donations, whether it's $5 or $10, $20 a month, whatever you can help us with. We're very grateful, of course, above and beyond your prayers. But that's what we really covet, is your prayers for wisdom, for humility, for courage and discernment, which I think are things we should all be praying for. All right, now, church security. I'm going to end this segment with talking about church security, but I'm going to build up to it. It's interesting that one of the in such a peace-loving country, one of the mosque shootings was partially thwarted by a Muslim at one of those mosques with a rifle or a shotgun. Which, why would you need a rifle or a shotgun? Things never happen in those kind of places. In New Zealand, of all places. Why would a shotgun be there? Do they have a security situation that's... maybe he's just one of these guys, like you or me, that just go to church and we just pack because we do. Maybe that was it. But what's interesting is some of these stories that I don't know, maybe you guys have forgotten about, we've talked about, we've brought this up. I know that a former FBI agent, Guandolo, who runs a website called Understanding the Threat, he basically got shut down because of his investigations into the growing threat that Islam is in America and how in discovering some of the documents and training and I guess the doctrine, if you will, of Islam and some of the more modern teachings of some of these imams talking about using the mosques as a place for warfare, to engage warfare out of. And so I want to bring you to a couple stories, and some of these are a little older, but that's okay because it still highlights a trend that we should be acutely aware of, especially as the mosques in our country have grown to, what, 75% more? There are literally hundreds, if not thousands, of mosques in the United States now. Since 75% of them, I think, where did I have that? I don't know if I have that in these notes. 75% of the mosques were put in place since 9/11. I don't know if you guys know it or not, but a mosque is a symbol to Muslims of conquest. It is a way of claiming this land, and not just the footprint that the mosque is sitting on, but the community that it's in, that the state that it is in, that the country that it is in, is a symbol of this is now ours. And as reflected in, you know, a lot of their prayers as well. So we don't understand our enemy, and that's a really good way to get the smack down by an enemy is not to understand them. But those who do understand and study the tactics and the mindset of their enemy get swatted down for being Islamophobic. But I want to share with you one story out of the Daily Caller. A large arsenal of weapons of war was found near a radical mosque in Germany, adding to fears that terrorists are well-equipped to carry out attacks across Europe. The weapons were found in a refrigerator after a SWAT team operation in the state of North Rhine-Westphalia. Another one out of the Telegraph. Police seize weapons in a mosque raid. Anti-terrorist police who burst into the Finsbury Park Mosque in North London yesterday... This is an article, you know, back from, I think, 2016. Okay, but this article states that the anti-terrorist police burst into Finsbury Park Mosque in North London, found weapons, including a stun gun. It's funny they listed that. Found weapons and hundreds of suspected forged or stolen passports, identity, and other documents. Let's see. Sulawesi... out of Asia News, Indonesia. Islamic schools used as arms arsenal for terrorists. Indonesian police have discovered an arsenal of homemade bombs, pistols, guns, and ammunition hidden in a Muslim school of Poso, central Sulawesi province. That's a madrasa. Same type of school, Muslim school that the previous president, who will not be named, went to when he was in Indonesia. A madrasa. You'll often hear him refer to that. In Serbia, Muslim amassed weapons and explosives plotted jihad. In this article from January of this year, asks, is he pretending that mosques are not used to plot violent jihad in Russia, especially the United States, because I'm an American, weapons and explosives? Because this article goes on to explain this jihad network in Serbia, where they're using mosques to stage weapons. Mosques, if you don't know, remember what I said yesterday, yesterday, and many times before. Islam is not a religion, or it's not just a religion. It is a total world view, a world system. It is a system by which you run your nation. It is made up of military components, political, economic, social, and religious components. That's what makes up Islam. Part of that doctrine of Hijra is conquest by immigration. That's some of their preferred method. Some of them just want to peacefully come in, and they just take over, and they just outbreed you, and next thing you know, there's more of them than there are of you, and you are now their slave, and they will let you know, and they're waiting for that moment. They openly boast. In Clash Daily, every mosque in America too is a military base. Every mosque in America. Military bases here in the United States and even more in Europe, for that matter. ClashDaily.com, every mosque in America. Okay, titled an exploratory, I'm going to pull from this article here. You guys have heard myself mention this, several others, Pastor Sharam Hadian, you've heard Representative Matt Shea, John Guandolo, just multiple other groups, Jihad Watch and others have pointed this out. In this document that was recovered as part of this Holy Land's series of trials, Holy Land trials, let me just read this. Titled an exploratory memorandum of the general strategic goal for the group in North America, we're talking Canada and U.S., by Muslim Brotherhood operative Mohammed Akram. The 18-page plan details specific instructions for the grand jihad of convincing Muslims that their work in America is that of eliminating and destroying Western civilization from within and sabotaging its miserable house by their hands. Isn't that interesting? And that's exactly what we're doing. It's Americans who are disassembling the rule of law and undermining the Constitution, right? And how much of that influence is coming from CARE and these other Muslim organizations. So eliminating and destroying Western civilization from within is sabotaging its miserable house by their hands so that Islam is made victorious over all religions. And isn't it also interesting that Khrushchev said the same thing, and well, several other communists. Basically, you're going to destroy yourselves. We're going to undermine your systems, and you're going to cave from within, and you will be communist. It is also interesting to see this merging of Islam and communism on the world scene. The green-red alliance, communism and Islam. So, and I'm going to cover this a little bit more a little bit later as well, because there's a lot involved here and there's a lot of studies that I've come across. I attended a leadership summit in Phoenix, Arizona a few years ago with several others where former CIA, former FBI patriots were laying out the intelligence that our own government and our media is ignoring. And they're saying, people, you need to wake up. We're in trouble. And here's the evidence. And they laid it out. And it was frightening. But there's another one. France. This is from 2015. France raids mosques and discovers weapons and jihadist documents. The deadly terrorist. This is this article from December 8th, 2015. I'll link it. This goes to thepoliticalinsider.com. The deadly Islamic terror attack in Paris, France, killed more than 130 people. Unlike America, after an attack, France started immediately raiding Islamic mosques to see what they could find. After all, far too many people in the Muslim community have not been helpful with bringing forth information to authorities. And while those French investigators have been called racists, of course, that's one of the number one race, that's the stuff that the SPLC helps do. But these guys are all playing from the same playbook. So the French investigators were called racists, which, by the way, Islam is not a race, by the way. It is a world system. It's like communism. People from many different races belong to it or espouse it or have been sucked up into it. A Lingy-sur-Marne-based mosque was, I'm sure I totally butchered that because I don't speak a lick of French. I can say Coeur d'Alene, but that's it. So this French-based mosque was raided this week anyway. They found a large collection of 7.62 Kalashnikov ammo. Wonder where the rifles were. Along with boxes of Islamic State propaganda videos. And I'm sure probably in France there's not a 10-year prison sentence for having ISIS propaganda videos either. Authorities also raided one of the mosque's leaders' homes and found a revolver hidden near jihadist documents. They found a bunch of stuff in this. They found recordings of religious chants glorifying the martyrs of jihad linked to the terrorist organization Jabhat al-Nusra, the Syrian branch of al-Qaeda. The recordings were found among a wealth of teaching materials for young people in an undeclared madrasa or religious school. Police removed a hard disk, 10 computers. No request was made to open a private school. So shame on them. They didn't have a formal request to open a school. Big deal. Okay, so Mohammed Ramdane, president of the local Muslim association, criticized the closure of the prayer hall at the time, saying, "Nothing has been found in the mosque. Nothing's hidden. We don't hide anything," he says. So France isn't messing around. They've arrested more than 230 Muslims, collected more than 324 weapons. Many others are under travel bans and house arrest. They've shut down three mosques and have raided more than 2,300 homes. They don't mess around. And there's more. In fact, France's interior minister, Bernard, I can't pronounce his last name, he made this statement about the number of weapons apprehended from all these raids of the Muslim community there. He said, "In 15 days, we've seized one-third of the quantity of war-grade weapons that are normally seized in a year." They got on it, didn't they? Well, there's something we need to be thinking about, my fellow patriots. Alerts USA put out a couple this week. And on the 15th, Canadian law enforcement and National Council of Canadian Muslims urge increase in security at mosques across the country following Christchurch, New Zealand attacks. So Canada is going to rush to provide security for the mosques. And we've had, what, one mosque attack that I know of? Multiple Christian church attacks and multiple Jewish synagogue attacks. But Canada's falling all over itself to make sure that the Muslims there feel nice and warm and safe and fuzzy. Right at the same time, the same day, the ISIS and Al-Qaeda linked social media channels bursted alive with calls for revenge in response to New Zealand attacks. Department of Homeland Security Secretary Nielsen urged Americans to remain vigilant. And, of course, Alerts USA is monitoring. I say we need to do more than be vigilant. I think with the recent ISIS posters of ISIS calling for jihadis to go door-to-door killing Americans in their homes, and then now these calls for Al-Qaeda and ISIS to begin carrying out attacks, retaliatory attacks, I firmly believe that the churches need to take security very seriously and start to really start ramping things up for those of you who are not doing so already. And I know many of you are. I know several of you who are involved in your church security. And there's some darn impressive church security teams out there that are doing it right. But there's some that are still not. And a lot of that has to do with the pastor's resistance to. We don't need that. We don't need that in this church. I'm not going to live in fear. We're not going to live in fear. Well, I'll tell you what, the churches that I know of that have some of the top-notch security, they don't live in fear either. But they're also prepared to protect life. I say arm yourselves. If you don't arm yourself, if you don't, whether you do or not, you should be armed anyway, whether you go to church or go to the store. Now, if your church does not have a church security program, I want to encourage you to talk to your pastor or talk to your elders, who can then approach your pastor, about increasing the security, doing an honest assessment of your security situation, and developing a security plan. And I mean armed security. You need to have the ability to have the maximum amount of situational awareness in your church. First of all, outside security. I covered this yesterday, but I'm going to reiterate it right here. Outside security is absolutely essential. And I mean non-uniformed, armed, roving security volunteer that's in the parking lot that can keep eyes on the avenues of approach for your church. All of these church shootings have started outside the place of worship, outside the building, either right there at the entrance or in the parking lot. You need to have somebody, and I don't mean, a lot of these mosques now, they got police squad cars parked in front of the mosque as a presence to show a show of force. But that a serious team getting ready to attack a church, like say ISIS or these guys, your uniformed police officer or uniformed, don't even wear something that says security on it. Not even a badge that says security on it, because you're going to be the first one taken out. So, the sacrificial lamb there. You need to have security cameras with views of all your entrances and all your approaches to your buildings. You also need to lock your building, your doors that are not being used. One of the biggest failures in church attacks, where the secretary is there working alone and she's attacked, or the pastor who's shot down and robbed, and the offering plates are stolen, what are all of these cases? They've got doors unlocked all over the building. So physical security, but you also need to have during church services, you need to have any doors locked that are not being used. And of course, for a fire and other emergencies, they must not be locked from the inside. They should be openable, but locked from the outside. I also recommend that you have a combat rifle inside and outside, but not in public view. Now, some of these church security teams are getting very creative with guitar cases and things like that, so that they have them within arm's reach. And of course, those are security teams where the pastor's on board. These guys train regularly, and that's the next thing you guys have got to train amongst yourselves regularly, and I would say weekly at first, at least for the first month. But if you're not meeting and training, and I mean, if you're using lethal force, which you should be training no less than once a month at the range. I think that, and I know teams that train once a week. That's their routine. They don't deviate from it. And they are absolutely outstanding. They are prepared to meet a deadly force threat. You need to do walkthrough drills at the church, separate from this. Those should be done as well. And you guys need training. I would start off with, of course, firearms training, naturally. You're talking about stopping lethal force with lethal force. Take some professional courses to start off with. Find somebody or some place that will train you in the more advanced tactics. Some will not. It's like, this is a law enforcement only course. Rubbish. You need to take some combat training on this level. And there are people out there that are experts in it in pretty much every community. Find them. The retired LAPD guy that was on the SWAT team, or that type of training. If you cannot get it from your local professional firearms training facilities. Okay. Attend seminars and workshops. Hire a consultant if you have to. Or join a reputable established church security network or program. And there are several online. You should also have tactics and medicine training. I mean, trauma, first aid. Build that into your training as well. And also, I would recommend that you sponsor a multi-church security conference in your community or town and invite other church security teams to attend. There was just a great one put on by Lieutenant Colonel Dave Grossman from his sheepdog seminars. I've taken several of his. I've got his Bulletproof Mind series. I've read both of his books, On Combat and On Killing. They're phenomenal works that understand, you know, that gets into the psychology of using lethal force, you know, for police officers in combat and self-defense. And it really addresses a lot of things that will help you prepare your mind for that and really think about some serious stuff. It's not hero stuff. It's real world, down and dirty type of training. But they also have seminars through their sheepdog seminars. And you can go to sheepdogsafetytraining.com and set up a time where they can come and to your church. And I would strongly recommend making this a multi-church security team type of conference. We can bring some top-notch speakers, including Lieutenant Colonel Dave Grossman, and these other top-notch speakers are people who have been in church shootings. They were on the church security team, or pastors whose churches have been attacked, and other people that have been there. And you're going to get a lot of really great briefings, back briefings from some of these real world events. And there's a lot to be learned and a lot to be gleaned from these. So that's my strong recommendation for you, just without making this an entire show. There's a lot of really great materials out there, but maybe we'll put that on the docket here for the next, sometime in the next month. We'll have a church security show. We're, you know, in all of our segments, we cover that. Okay, guys, I'm going to wrap up here in segment four. I'm going to talk to you about some things that I started to get into last week with the Attorney General. Apparently, reportedly, was in attendance with a meeting in Oregon on how to deal with these sheriffs that are refusing to enforce the law, the unconstitutional law. So I've got a little more information with that. I'm going to share. This is kind of a long show tonight, but that's okay. This is good stuff. I hope you guys are enjoying this. So yeah, when we come back, I've got an article that I want to share with you from the Statesman Examiner and shed a little more light on this this conference and some of the strategies that they're working on. So stay right there. This is Radio Free Redoubt.
I've never seen a diamond. I cut my teeth on wedding rings in the movies.
Hello, Liberty State supporters. First of all, I want to say congratulations to Chelan and Douglas counties for holding their first joint volunteers meeting on the 12th. They had a great turnout and a successful evening. The next volunteer meetings are Friday, March 22nd in Yakima County, Saturday, March 23rd in Grant County, and Monday, the 25th, is the Benton-Franklin Joint County Meeting. Our next state event that everyone is being asked to come to will be the Lexit Rally in Olympia on Friday, March 29th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., where we will all show up in mass and tell Olympia that we are dividing the state. There will be many speakers from county commissioners and sheriffs to other elected officials, Second Amendment supporters, heads of county agriculture, business, and industry. Having been so closely involved in the politics surrounding the Washington State Legislature this session and watching so many mortifying bills get passed by the Democrats that are in an all-out free-for-all, I can do nothing but reflect happily on the hope that is Liberty State. This is the stage in our movement that we are bringing in elected officials into our discussions and asking them for their input. Some elected officials have incorrectly stated that Liberty State is not economically viable. That is not true at all. In fact, nothing could be further from the truth, as Representative Matt Shea proves with information from the Washington State Office of Financial Management, Idaho Legislature, and Ballotopedia, which show that Liberty State's population is nearly identical to the population of Idaho, and the total income of both Liberty State and Idaho are nearly identical as well, at nearly $7 billion per year. The state of Idaho does just fine, and therefore, so would Liberty State. So share this information in Representative Shea's PowerPoint and refer them to that video so they can verify it for themselves. If they go to that video, they can find that exact information that begins at 44 minutes and 35 seconds. Let's talk positively and productively about this to everyone we know and let them know this is not going to happen, but that it is happening right now as we speak. And they better get on board and join in this awesome effort today by volunteering or by donating to the Liberty State effort and make a difference that will actually count. I am Lady Liberty, and this is a public service announcement on behalf of Liberty State. Visit us at libertystate.org today.
Armored cars and tanks and guns came to take away our sons, but every man must stand behind the men behind the wire. Armored cars and tanks and guns came to take away our sons, but every man must stand behind the men behind the wire. In the little streets of Belfast, in the dark of early morn, British soldiers came a-running, breaking little homes with scorn. Hear the sobs of crying children, dragging fathers from their bed. Watch the scene as helpless mothers watch the blood fall from their heads. Armored cars and tanks.
This is the fourth and final segment here at Radio Free Redoubt. And segment four is brought to you by Werks Holsters, WERKZ.com. For your custom Kydex holster and magazine carrier needs. They're made right here in the American Redoubt with a lifetime guarantee on all their products. And you can also look into the Liberty State series with the flag or the state seal placed on your holster. And part of the proceeds from those go to support Liberty State. That's works.com. All right, now, last week, I mentioned that I had a meeting with some legislators and some other leaders in the conservative patriot community where we were talking about some of the agenda of what's going on the left. And it was brought up to me by two separate sources. This is why I took it so seriously, that the Attorney General, Bob Ferguson, was reported to have attended a meeting in Oregon with others similar to him to strategize on how to deal with these unlawful law-breaking, failure to follow and enforce their laws. The sheriffs and the county commissioners in Washington State, largely, mostly in Liberty. And so I got some information here. Now, this is what I anticipated. They are going to demonize the sheriffs and make them out to be racist, extremist, well, they can't call them anti-government. all these sheriffs and all these county commissioners obviously can't. The anti-government label isn't going to stick. So they're extremists. They're influenced by extremist views. And remember that the executive branch of Washington State has threatened, even with arrest, a couple of the sheriffs, at least one, possibly two or more sheriffs, and saying that you're breaking the law, you're not doing your duty by refusing to enforce these laws. Well, the Constitution, look, there's a series of checks and balances in our government, right? The court isn't there to check the legislature and the executive branch, and that's it. The executive branch should be also checking the other two branches. It's a checks and balance system. So one of the checks that we have are elected officials, such as county commissioners and sheriffs, as a check against the legislative branch when they're acting unconstitutional. So as I said before, they're going to go through this series. It's like it's always happened in history. Marginalization, then demonization, then litigation and character assassination, and criminalization, then incarceration, then eventually extermination. So where litigation and character assassination comes in, of course, with the help of the media, but there are some people that are specialized in this, like the SPLC, the Southern Poverty Law Center, which is, in my opinion, a scam just to collect millions and millions of dollars from people based on emotionally charged issues such as hate. So they're always trying to justify their existence. Well, I picked up a copy of, it's a hard copy, it's not on their online print edition, their online edition, I couldn't find it anywhere, but a patriot gave me their Happy St. Patrick's Day edition. This came out Wednesday, actually, March 13th. By the way, Happy St. Patrick's Day all out there to all my Irish friends. I'm Scottish, so I can still celebrate it, right? Boy, I had a great time yesterday, too. Went to this little Irish pub restaurant, and they had live music. And it was just the coolest thing. What a coolest, just a great festive environment. And it was just, it was great. It was pretty cool. Okay, so Stevens County tied to militia by Seattle author. Well, who is this? Who is this Seattle author that's tying Stevens County to militias? Well, here it is. Stevens County commissioners were accused of being... This is, guys, you ready for this? This is horrible. This is a sin of sins. Stevens County, that's in Liberty, commissioners were accused of being constitutionalists tied to racist militia groups during a meeting telebriefing Thursday by Western States Center of Portland, Oregon. All right. So it's really bad to be a constitutionalist tied to militias. Of course, they can't say militia without saying racist militia. So that's just a given, whether racist or not. What they'll do is they'll find some guys that were racist in some type of a group. Maybe they call themselves a militia. Maybe they don't. But that's what they always go back to, basically to make the case that all militias are racists. And now these county commissioners are tied to constitutionalists. Oh, they're being constitutionalists, which I don't know when that ever became a bad word, but it did. Well, remember this meeting we couldn't quite pin down? We couldn't get details on it? Well, apparently it wasn't a physical meeting. It was a teleconference, as I'm trying to get this information put together. Now, the problem is the attorney general was said to have attended this meeting, which we're finding out is a teleconference, but he's not mentioned anywhere in this article. So now all I can do is say it was inferred that he allegedly attended this meeting. But it is also consistent, it's congruent with the other information that's coming around from the people from the inside that are saying, no, this is what happened. This is what they were talking about. I was standing there in a group and they mentioned it. So this is a very difficult type of reporting because you don't have solid, information, but it's beginning to all make sense if you put the pieces together. This telebriefing by the Western States Center of Portland. Western States, who's ever heard? Have any of you ever heard of the Western States Center of Portland? Key in on that word, center, as in affiliated with the Southern Poverty Law Center. So they're trying to keep this common theme here. And, of course, in this case, it's the Western States Center of Portland, Oregon. They said the constitutionalists are very much part of this militia movement, said David Newart, one of the presenters. He was introduced by Eric Ward, executive director of the center. Okay, now I want to key in on some things here. The Seattle-based author and quote-unquote expert on white nationalism, well, he's an expert on making all militias and constitutionalists into white nationalists. I think that's what he's more of an expert on. But he says, alt-America, the rise in the radical right in the age of Trump, and has ties to the Southern Poverty Law Center. Bingo, there it is. So he says, we wouldn't be surprised to see Stevens County pass an ordinance declaring its jurisdiction as a sanctuary for gun rights due to its militia affiliations. All right, well, first of all, militia is in the Constitution. It is part of our Constitution, the same Constitution that these elected officials raised their right hand and took an oath to uphold and defend. And it's also part of our heritage, as much as you want to think that it's not or want us to think that it's not. And we're not going to let you take the few handful of examples of where maybe somebody was racist who was in a militia or started some group that you call a militia that really wasn't even a militia. And we're not going to be duped by you. Because the people that I know in the militias are God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots that believe in the rule of law and they love our heritage. And I don't hear racist stuff coming from them. So what you're claiming is not matching up with what I know and what I see with my own eyes. But, hey, it's your lie. You can tell it. So I'll move on here. The militia was described during the briefings as anti-government paramilitary groups that posed a threat to democracy. A threat to democracy. Well, anti-government paramilitary groups. Okay, the militia is not anti-government. They should be paramilitary, and they should be a threat to democracy as it relates to upholding and protecting the republic. Democracy is the republic's enemy. Let's get that straight. Okay, so the reason why I'm sharing this with you is because you can't find it anywhere. I don't know what if there's copyright. I know for news and commentary and educational purposes, you can read copyrighted material, portions of it, and if you're commenting on it, using it for that purpose like I am now. But I don't know if I can photocopy this and post it. Maybe I'll get a hold of the editor of the Statesman Examiner, because these guys have actually been very objective in their coverage, including Liberty State. It's actually refreshing. I met the editor, the owner, at one of the Liberty State events, and really nice guy. I was skeptical, like I am, with how hardcore the left, especially the newsprint, has gone. But anyway, well, we'll see. Maybe he'll provide a digital copy for us to share with others. But apparently, listen to this. This Ward guy, he says, in their opposition of Initiative 1639, they are trying to undermine the rule of law. Okay, so this is the SPLC. This is exactly what I said was coming. The SPLC, of course, in this case, is an affiliate or associated with the SPLC or affiliated. It's the this Portland law, this Western States Center of Portland, Oregon, which is communist headquarters there for the Western United States. But let's see here. So he says they, you know, these constitutionalist commissioners with ties to militias, which, by the way, is a good thing. Having ties to militias and the Constitution, that's part of our American heritage. They don't like it, but it's true. And I agree that the militia needs to, they've got some house cleaning to do, especially in the public image area. And they could start by not giving public statements and getting their face out there doing press releases, but they won't listen. Some of them won't. Okay, so he says, they are trying to undermine the rule of law. Now, this is what Ward is saying. Remember, this is the demonization and character assassination portion of this series of oppressing a people, right? How are they character assassinating them? Well, they throw out some strings of some racist guys that were in some group, maybe a militia, maybe not. And because the county commissioners are touting the Constitution, while they're drawing these making these connections here to try to assassinate their character, because basically now these sheriffs and county commissioners are all they're all racist by the time you get done reading their article or they're listening to their speech. So this is how they're trying to strategize, apparently. Stevens County has passed a resolution saying it will not support any laws that undermine gun rights protected under both the state and the federal constitutions. Other counties are joining Stevens, including Benton County, Franklin County, and Yakima. Well, of course, you know, they're all racists because they're constitutionalists, right? And they probably talk to somebody in the militia, too. So these are the three most populous counties, apparently, east of the Cascades. I'm not sure if that's true. I think Spokane County is more populous. But anyway, we move on here. So Ward said there was a long history in America of a patriot movement, that's you and me, that used threats and intimidation to gain its ends. But see, this is a false statement because you and I are in the patriot community. Have we ever used threats or intimidation to gain its ends? Well, what I see here, it's interesting that he says this, because what I see is the governor, or specifically the attorney general, and even the governor, I believe, using threats and intimidation to try to get the sheriffs to comply with their agenda to gain their ends. Isn't that what the attorney general is doing by threatening the sheriff and issuing warnings to the county commissioners and the other sheriffs? Isn't that a threat and intimidation to gain their ends? I think that's what they're doing. Of course, he referenced the 1995 Oklahoma City bombing by Timothy McVeigh, a militia member, and the Montana Freeman, blah, 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 blah. But see, that's not what the county commissioners or the sheriffs support. They're not tied to any of those things. These guys are masters at tying totally irrelevant, unrelated examples to make their case and linking it to people who have nothing to do with that, don't share those same ideologies or ideas at all. But I want you guys to know what's going on. So this is a sneaky stuff that these guys are doing to try to demon it. They're trying to take out any resistance to their unconstitutional agenda. And fortunately, the county commissioners and the sheriffs, they're not falling for it. But you, the people, you need to help inform your fellow countrymen about what's happening and the strategies that the leftists are trying to use. So he says, what we're seeing in Washington, we have several concerns about. Cooper said, constitutional sheriffs are affiliated with militias, which are often white nationalists. Sometimes they might be white nationalists, but there's no mention here about affiliations with communist revolutionaries of those on the left. Is there? And here's more demonizing. Just because there have been some people who are racist who were also in militias, and some of these groups weren't even militias. They were just guys that go out there and they train with firearms, and they're all in a group together, and they're not a militia, but they're racist. Well, they link them all together. And so all of this was part of since the 90s, their strategy to demonize the militias because they're a threat, because that is the armed teeth of resistance to tyranny. So how do we destroy the militias? Well, pretty much what they've done is tried to make the militias synonymous with racists. And like they'll bring in groups like the Order and the Aryan Nations and things like this, which have nothing to do with the militia. Except they'll find the one guy that went to the Aryan Nations compound meeting that one time in 1995, and then later he joined a militia. So now they say this militia has members with ties to the Aryan Nations, which a lot of times the guys in the militia are totally clueless about. Interesting. So this is what happened. Stevens County Commissioner Steve Parker responded to these remarks. And he said, the Patriot movement has simply been Americans respecting the U.S. Constitution as the supreme law of the land, and realizing that amendments could only be made by going through a formal process, not by a citizen's initiative. He's talking about I-1639 and enforcement of that. So this is beautiful. He nailed it. This is dead on, nailed it, dead center. Because an initiative by the people to restrict your firearms rights is a violation of the constitutions of the state of Washington and the United States. Now, if you want to change that, you have to amend the Constitution. So essentially, any law that you pass that's in violation of the Constitution is an amendment to the Constitution. When you pass a law that's in violation of the Constitution, you are amending the Constitution. Okay, can you do that? Well, yes, you can, but there's a process. And this is beautifully put. It's exactly what we need to be repeating. If you want to amend the Constitution, which is what I-1639 and so many other gun laws have done, you have to go through the proper process. Right? Okay, so what they're doing is trying to amend the Constitution. And what they're doing is going about it the wrong way. In fact, it's unlawful. In fact, it's not enforceable. So this is a beautiful statement. Remember that. I-1639 and any other firearms law which is in conflict with the constitutions of either the state or the federal government is an amendment. It's plain and simple. And I don't know why this didn't occur to me before, but it's true. So to amend it, there's a process, and this ain't the process. So apparently the opponents of I-1639 refer to its passage by a mobocracy is dishonest. So this is what we've been calling this. This is an initiative of the people. You dupe enough people. You deceive enough people to vote for something that's unconstitutional. And democracy, even the founding fathers said, this is the mob rule. This is mobocracy. But he's saying that's disingenuous. That's dishonest to say that. No, it's not. It's the truth. He said militia groups adhered to the organic constitution, which is only the first 10 amendments. This is this guy Ward talking. He said they did not support the 13th Amendment abolishing slavery. So he's talking about you and me and friends of ours that are in the militia. He says they, militia groups, adhered to the organic constitution. What the heck is the organic constitution? He's speaking for us, telling us what we believe in, that we believe in the organic constitution, which none of us have ever heard of. Have any of you ever heard of the organic constitution? Because according to this leftist propagandist, he's saying that's what you and I believe in. Because I support the militia. I'm not in a militia. Well, I'm in the militia, I guess. But I'm not in a militia. So he's telling us what we believe, and none of us have ever even heard of it. So, well, what does that mean? Well, that means we only believe in the first 10 amendments. Wow, did you know that? This is a newsflash for us. And he said, we do not support the 13th Amendment abolishing slavery. Where does this... I mean, my response to this was, huh? Where do you even get this? So but this applies to all of us. He said, excuse me. He said he believed enactment of I-1639 was compatible with the Constitution because citizens had followed a democratic process to exercise the right of the majority. Okay, this is wrong on so many levels. All right, the Constitution, this is what makes us a republic, which means just because the citizens, there is no citizen democratic process for the majority of the people to pass something that's unconstitutional. There isn't. This is a lie. They followed a democratic process to exercise the right of the majority. All that applies to is electing your officials, your representatives. And it wasn't even supposed to be to vote for your senator either. That was supposed to be elected by your representatives were supposed to elect the Senate. They took that out of their hands too. So this guy's wrong. So he says, the Constitution does not protect is the idea we can circumvent the process through threats of violence, he says. That is as far away from the interests of the Constitution as you can get. Well, actually, that's not true. Because the whole reason for the Second Amendment is for the security of a free state. The right of every citizen to be armed. So what does that imply? The right of for the security of a free state, you must be armed. That means when freedoms are threatened, to remain free, the people must be armed, which means it is a deterrent to a tyrant to take away freedoms and to act unlawfully, which is that is a threat to tyrants hanging over their head. And that is exactly what the Second Amendment of the U.S. Constitution was all about, is for the security of a free state. So you're wrong again. Now, Commissioner Parker said he knew nothing about this organic constitution. And that's what I said. What in the heck is an organic constitution that we all believe in, us constitutionalists and militias and everybody else? So it's all lies. They did interview Matt Marshall, or they quoted him. Matt Marshall, the head of the Washington 3%, which was specifically named by Western states as a threat. Well, of course he's a threat. He's a patriot who's saying we're going to stand in the gap against tyranny if we're forced to. And we are never giving up our arms, and we are going to back up the sheriffs who refuse to follow unconstitutional laws. Well, that is a threat. Matter of fact, every armed American free citizen should be a threat to you if you are a tyrant. So it's an appropriate label, a threat. Now, he said members of the group come from every walk of life and ethnic background, and so opponents were deliberately spreading misinformation when they accused the organization of racism. And you know, you don't even have to defend yourself or qualify that or anything else. I mean, look how many pastors. We got two black pastors up at Marble. At the Marble community. I mean, these are all just the most awesome patriots that you could ever find. And they've got several minorities up there, including two of their pastors. But they still, the SPLC and these others, still will not let up trying to tie these guys, the group up at Marble, the whole community, into racist militia, racist anti-government, and so on and so forth. They teach government, proper government with biblical principles, biblically foundational, proper government of justice and the rule of law. And they have minorities, including two black pastors up there. But see, these guys, you'll never hear them say that. You'll never hear them mention or even highlight or acknowledge the fact that there are Filipino, there are black, there are Hispanic members of the 3%ers. These people love freedom, and they see what the government is doing, and they're going to stand in the gap against tyrants. But that doesn't fit the center's narrative. So they don't talk about that. It's just racism. They're tied to racism. But he said the militia is described by federal code as able-bodied males between the ages of 17 and 45. There you go. If you are for the Constitution, you're for the rule of law. The Constitution, the supreme law of the land, which the Washington State Constitution clearly states that the Constitution is the supreme law of the land. That same Constitution, that same law, which describes in federal code, rather, as every able-bodied male between the ages of 17 and 45. That is the militia, and that's constitutional. So this center and their attempt to malign, to character assassinate, to demonize, we're in the process, right? To demonize these people for doing the right thing. Well, they're lies. So hopefully you guys got two things taken away from two takeaways from this. The attack is on, and now you know the tactics that they're using. You know not to fall for it, and we have further indicators that the people behind I-1639 are collaborating with anti-American leftists to try to demonize. This is what this whole thing was about, was to demonize the sheriffs and the county commissioners for standing against a clearly unconstitutional law. And they're throwing a temper tantrum, and we don't care because we're going to stand for the rule of law. And that's all I've got. Guys, you have a blessed week. Stay safe. Buy more ammo for the security of a free state. And get ready to defend your churches. And get ready to defend your faith and your values by not accepting the lies. And preach the truth to those around who will listen. This is John Jacob Schmidt, and you've been listening to the Voice of the American Redoubt. Good night.